Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Thursday. Welcome in to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. We got a great show for you guys coming up over the next 30 minutes. Excited to have Chad Reuter join us, talk some NFL draft, a lot to get to with Chad. Also going to talk plenty of college basketball on the show today, dive into some of these conference tournaments. We got games starting right now in Arch Madness out in St. Louis, so we'll give out some picks that we like in some of the smaller conference tournaments. Also, we'll look at the SEC, preview some of their teams and who I like and who I don't like heading into March Madness. We will continue our MLB previews. We'll look at the Detroit Tigers on the show today, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments that you guys have for us, make sure you are following us at the BetMGM Network. You can watch and chime in on the show on YouTube, on Twitch, on our live stream on X as well. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session, though. Let's go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Chad Reuter, who joins us. Make sure you guys are following him on X at Chad_Reuter, NFL draft researcher and analyst with NFL Media as well. Chad, great having you on the show, man. Excited to talk some NFL draft with you. Let's start at the top of the board, right? It felt like for a while, Cam Ward is going to go number one to Tennessee. Now, after the combine, his odds to go number one are even wider. It's looking more and more like he is going to be the number one overall pick. Do you feel that way, Chad? Do you think Cam Ward is going to go number one?
Yeah, I projected him to go number one right after the Super Bowl. Look, you can't win in the AFC if you don't have a quarterback. Will Levis is not Brian Callahan's pick, certainly not Mike Borghese's pick. So, you know, I'm guessing they're going to want to move on from him. Unless they sign a veteran, something, you know, if they make some deal for a veteran. But otherwise, I think it's Cam Ward because he's just too talented. You've got a guy that is a, you know, five-year starter, six-year starter. And we've seen what Jaden Daniels, we've seen what Bo Nix could do with that experience coming into the league. And Ward's sort of a combination of those two guys. And I think, to me, he's clearly the best quarterback. And unless the Titans have something up their sleeve, I think he's the guy.
Yeah, I want to ask you if you think they have something up their sleeve, Chad, because obviously the Giants are trying to make a move this offseason. We know the Raiders are looking to be aggressive. I mean, what are the chances that you think Tennessee trades this pick?
I don't think it's great right now. Again, if they sign a veteran, then it really becomes, you know, a possibility. But then again, you know, your price goes down, right? Because everybody knows you're there. So I think they go with Ward. That's my feeling at this point in the process.
A lot of people feel like Cam Ward's going to go number one. The potential number two overall pick then, Chad, could be Abdul Carter out of Penn State. There were some reports, obviously, that injuries dealing with about a week ago. Maybe he could slide potentially in the draft. Like, what do you make of the injury to Abdul Carter? Is there a chance that he could slide out of the top three, top five? How do you view that?
Yeah, I don't think he makes it out of the top five. That's not a debilitating long-term injury. This is kind of one of those things that comes up every year, and you know, people are talking about Jalen Carter, all these whispers about this and that. Is he going to slide out of top 10? No, he was never going to slide out of top 10. So I think Carter's still a top five guy. I think he's, you know, one of the top four guys in the class. And, you know, stress fracture, I don't think is going to affect that.
I want to talk to you about the combine that we just had in Indianapolis. We'll go back to the quarterbacks because Shador and Cam were the only two QBs that did not participate, so we got a chance to look at everybody out. Was there a QB, Chad, that really stood out to you at the NFL Combine?
Well, I think Quinn Ewers did the most for himself because he needed to. Like, he needed to show teams he's over his oblique injury. He's the easiest thrower in the class in terms of velocity. He just comes out of his hands so nicely. And after a couple of deep throws that weren't as good, he really let it loose. Like, he trusted his body to be healthy again. And if you get him to do that, then they turned over real nice, and it looked pretty good. So he did the most to, help himself. But I still think in the end, Jackson Dart is going to be the first of the guys that drafted. He'll be the third quarterback taken. So I think he did what he needed to do to keep that spot at this point.
Do you think Dart will be a first-round quarterback, or do you think we only see the two guys going round one?
No, I think Dart's going to be the first round. I projected the Jets trading up to get him in my first mock. They may go top 10 with him at this point in the process, depending on how the free agent quarterback carousel, how that's where that stops. I think he's either going to be top 10 or somebody will get into the bottom of the first round to pick him up.
Outside of the quarterbacks, Chad, who else stood out to you at the combine?
Oh, gosh. So many guys. Jared Wilson, the center from Georgia, really took off, not only because he ran a good 40, but he looked so good during drills, so fluid. And he knew he was a good player. I had him as, you know, that mid-second round guy, but he's pushing his way up now, and won't shock me if he ended up in the bottom of the first round. Most likely spot, you know, in the 40s somewhere. But he did a great job. Max Hairston, the corner from Kentucky, he's one of those guys like, well, does he have elite speed? Is he going to be that elite workout to go with his competitive spirit on the outside? And he proved it. So now it's a real good shot he's going to end up in the first round. So he really helped himself. Obviously, Nick Amonawori, the safety from South Carolina, blew it up at the combine at his size, a big guy, blew it up at his size. And unlike Malachi Starks from Georgia, who struggled a little bit with his movement and stuff, I maybe will fall into the second at this point. Amonawori really stood out. And a guy who didn't even run that I thought looked great was Tyleek Williams, the defensive tackle from Ohio State. I don't know if he gets into the first round, but when you're 337 pounds, you move like that, you got to consider him because he's a really talented guy. And I think teams will be looking at him real hard when they're at the end of the first round.
Chad, like, as you know, I mean, this draft is loaded. I mean, everybody always wants to talk quarterbacks, and it's probably a down year at the QB position. But, like, I mean, running back, tight end, O-line, yep. DN, like, there's a lot of – which position do you think has the most depth in this class?
Defensive tackle, for sure, I think. I think there was 39. They may have said 40 in the combine groups. They had 40 defensive tackles in this class, and usually there's 25 or a few more that end up going to the combine there. So it's pretty clearly the deepest. But yeah, like you said, there's a lot of running backs that are going to be in that third to fifth round area that we're going to be see playing as rookies quite a bit. And, I think those are the two areas that are probably the deepest in the class.
Do you have a personal favorite just from studying all this film and watching the combine and stuff? Maybe not like a first round guy, but a guy you think could go in later rounds that you've just really enjoyed watching his film.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know Travis Hunter is kind of, everybody knows who Travis Hunter is, but mm-hmm. He's doing things we don't see. And In terms of like my top prospect and all that, it's Travis Hunter. He's the most fun to watch. I hope he gets a lot of time at receiver. He's really, really good. So I love him. But a guy that doesn't get as much play is JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, the edge rusher. He's just a really solid player, and he's probably – I can't wait to see him work out. I want to see – I think he's a better athlete than a lot of people think he is. He's just solid. He knows the game. They can drop – this guy's 265 pounds. They can drop him into coverage, and he makes plays out there. A lot of people saw a lot of great things from him as a freshman. They expected him to get like 20 sacks every year or whatever, and maybe he didn't do that. But he had 12 this year, pretty good. And, I think he's really talented player, and I think not a lot of people are talking about him enough.
Chad, before I let you go, my last question, it's always one I love to ask people that follow the draft. Who is a player in this class that you think is a perfect fit with a certain team? Like, right? Like, you watch that guy, yeah, and you're like, man, he would be a great Steeler. That guy would be a great Cowboy. Who's the player that comes to mind that you would be a perfect fit for a certain team?
Yeah, Tyler Warren going to the Saints would be great. I just see that as a perfect fit for them. The way they move tight ends around, the way they use Taysom Hill, with Juwan Johnson, free agent, he could be gone. So, like, that would be a perfect fit. And I'll also say that Colson Loveland going to the Broncos, I know it's like two tight ends I'm talking about here, but look, those two guys are great, and I can see the Broncos moving up to get Loveland because he's really fantastic as a pass catcher, and the Broncos could really use that. And of course, Bo Nix would probably want his adopted brother, Tess Johnson, on the team too at some point, so that would be a great fit. But those are guys that I could see really being fitting perfectly into their new teams.
Absolutely love it. Great stuff. Chad Reuter, make sure you guys are following him on X at Chad_Reuter, NFL draft researcher, analyst with NFL Media, joining us here on Send It In. Chad, really appreciate the time. Hope to do this again soon leading up to the draft. Man, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In, presented by BetMGM. Little NFL draft talk now. We will get into some March Madness. We've previewed all the top conferences, right? We've gone through the Big 12, ACC, Big East. We've looked at the Big 10. Now it's time to dive in to the best league this year in college basketball, and that is the SEC. We will start with the number one overall team, if the brackets came out today, and probably who will end up being the number one overall seed, and that is the Auburn Tigers, who did slip up against Texas A&M on Tuesday. Something that's really not getting talked about, which is worth monitoring, is the health of Denver Jones for Auburn. He's not one of their top players, but he's like one of their glue guys. He's one of their veterans. He's a great two-way player, excellent defender that usually is on one of the better guards on the other team, and he can make some timely shots as well. He got injured in the Kentucky game, did not play against Texas A&M, and Auburn obviously ended up losing that game against A&M. So monitor the status of Denver Jones. That would be one of my few concerns for Auburn. But look, this team's putting together one of the best resumes that we have ever seen in college basketball, considering how deep the SEC is this year and considering how tough their non-conference schedule is this year, and their only three losses are at Duke, at A&M, and home against Florida. Auburn, to me, still the top team in the country. And to be honest with you guys, the loss to A&M might have been the best thing that could have happened to them, right? Like, it would have been tough for Auburn to rattle off, what, like 20-plus games in a row and win a national championship. Obviously, you come off of winning against Kentucky, clinching the SEC regular season title. We talked about on the show a couple days ago how that was a good spot to bet A&M. So no real concern for me about Auburn, but would monitor the injury of Denver Jones. Then we have the Florida Gators, who after their win last night against Bama, probably going to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Florida's really impressive, you guys. Top 10 offense and defense, according to Ken Pom. Every time I watch them, I'm just always impressed with the athleticism of their big men. Condon was incredible last night. Walter Clayton's one of my favorite players in college basketball as well. Their defense on Bama was as good as I've seen a team play defense on them in SEC play this season. That's the difference between Auburn and Florida and these other teams. They're so good offensively, but man, can they guard on the perimeter, and they really make you work. And I felt like watching Bama against Florida and Bama against Auburn were like the same two games. Bama is doing everything they can to score on offense, and you look up and they still get to like 90 points, but they really have to work for it. And then defensively, they're just not as good as these other teams at Auburn and Florida are, which brings us next to Alabama, who right now is a projected number two seed. And that's the thing. I think Bama is like the fifth best team in the country, probably, but there's a clear gap between Duke, Auburn, Florida, maybe Houston, and the other teams. And I think last night made that apparent once again. Again, Bama is as good offensively as all these teams, but you watch their defense compared to these other teams, and that's really where the gap is. So as it was last year for the Tide, when they made the Final Four, it's all going to be about the path. It's all going to be about the matchups. It's all going to be about how the bracket shakes out. But I would not bet Alabama to win the national championship. I know when they hit a billion threes, they look unbeatable at times. But when they go up against these top-tier teams, I've just seen now too many cases of it. Watching the Auburn, the Florida game, we'll watch them against Auburn on Saturday. The defense is just not where it needs to be and not as good as these other teams. So Bama, good enough to get to the Final Four. Don't think they're good enough to win a national championship. And I think Tennessee is in the same boat. They're also likely going to be a number two seed. Tennessee is kind of the opposite. Their defense is good enough, but are they going to get enough offense to challenge some of those top teams, right? Tennessee is great playing games in the 50s, in the 60s, or in the low 70s. But if Tennessee has to win a game in the mid-80s, in the 90s, can they do that? I don't know if they can. That's what makes Florida, Auburn, and Duke the three best teams, is they can win games in the 60s, and they can also win games in the 90s. That would be my concern with Tennessee, and also it's Rick Barnes in the tournament. Like his teams just fall short every single year, and it kind of feels like the same team again this year. Then we get Kentucky, who's a projected number three seed. Kentucky's a team that I would look to fade early on in the tournament. Great offense, can put up a ton of points. Defense is a lot like Alabama's. It's nowhere near where it should be. And Jackson Robinson, their starting point guard, is out for the year, and that's a big blow for Kentucky. So probably going to be a three seed, potentially a four seed. They probably win a game, but I think looking at them to get upset in the round of 32, probably a good way to attack Kentucky. Then the next two teams up, I think, are going to be two of the hardest teams to handicap in March Madness. The first one is Texas A&M, who before the Auburn game lost four straight games in a row. And then you watch them against Auburn and you're like, how did this team lose four games in a row, right? There's so much variance with A&M because of how streaky a shooting team they are. You know they're going to be great rebounding the ball, and you know they're going to be great on defense. But how are they going to play offense? Are they going to make their threes? Are they going to make their free throws? Are they going to limit the turnovers? That's really the problem with A&M, and that's really why it's tough to back them. You just don't know what team you're going to get on any given night. So depending the price that we get on A&M and depending on kind of the region that they're in when the brackets come out, I could see myself getting involved with betting A&M to make the Final Four because of the upside. Because this team is Final Four good. I don't know if they'll string together enough games to make it to the Final Four. They might have to get lucky and have one of those like survive and advance games. But man, when they're knocking down their shots, they can beat anybody in college basketball. And we saw that on Tuesday against Auburn. Then Missouri. I've talked about Missouri a lot on this show. For you guys that watch Send It In a bunch, you know I love Missouri. I am getting a little concerned though about the defense. And they shoot so many three-pointers. They're very much like in Alabama, where, man, when they hit their shots, they can beat anybody. And hence why they have beaten Bama and they have won at Florida this year, because in those games, they were knocking down their shots. But going on the road late here in SEC play, we've watched them lose at Oklahoma, at Vanderbilt, at Arkansas. They've struggled on the road against these inferior opponents, and they've struggled to get stops especially, but then they've also struggled to shoot the ball a little bit as well. So Missouri's going to be another team. Good enough to get to the Final Four. Also could see them losing in the first round as well. Mississippi State is going to be one of my biggest bets in the tournament, because if you've listened to the show, you know I love betting Mississippi State because they're always a matchup-oriented team. If Mississippi State plays a team with a top 10 offense, you fade them. They can't beat those teams. Even though their defense is good, it's not good enough to stop those teams, and offensively, they cannot hang with those teams. So if they play a defensive team that wants to play games in the 60s or the 70s, then we got ourselves a ball game with Mississippi State. But to me, all about matchups with them. Ole Miss, folks, is a team that I would keep an eye out for. Projected 7 seed right now. So many great teams in the SEC. I think a lot of people are going to pick A&M and Missouri as their sleeper teams. Don't forget about Ole Miss, though. Chris Beard is still the coach there in Oxford. He's one of the best in college basketball, and I like the makeup of their team. Sean Padula, you got Matthew Morrell. Brayton Moore's really good, too. Got a lot of good players, man. They're good on defense, and if they're hitting their shots, Ole Miss could be dangerous. Keep an eye out for them. Vanderbilt, a projected 9 seed right now. Mark Byington's a hell of a coach. He was at James Madison last year when they won 30-plus games. They smashed Wisconsin in the first round, year one in Nashville. He takes Vandy to the NCAA tournament. Vandy, I'm probably going to bet the over in their first-round game in the tournament. Maybe they win their 8-9 matchup. I can't see them upsetting a number one seed, though. Georgia's going to be most likely a 10 seed. Congrats to Georgia and Mike White for making it to the tournament. Probably going to be fading you in the first round. Again, they've only scored 80 or more points in 3 SEC games this season. Just don't have enough offensive firepower. And then Arkansas and Oklahoma, 2 teams right now squarely on the bubble. I think I like Oklahoma a little bit more just because they were 13-0 in the non-conference before getting into SEC play. But if Adu Thierro comes back for Arkansas and he's healthy, they've been playing really good as of late. So I could see both of those teams maybe upsetting a 6 seed, but I couldn't see either of them making a deep run. All right, let's talk some conference tournaments here on Send It In. We'll dive into about half of these leagues. We'll save the rest for tomorrow. We'll start with the A-Sun. We're in the semifinals of the A-Sun. This conference tournament is played on campus sites. You have North Alabama taking on Jacksonville tonight. You also have Lipscomb taking on Queens. Lipscomb, a minus 190 favorite to win the A-Sun tournament. Again, they're the clear team, number one seed, and they're playing at home. So if a team wants to knock out Lipscomb, they got to beat them on their home floor. North Alabama's a really good team as well. Both Lipscomb and North Alabama have kind of been the top 2 teams in the league all season. I think it's worth a bet on North Alabama at plus 225 to win the conference tournament because I feel like if these teams do match up in the finals, that's going to be a better money line price than you're going to get if they play. Lipscomb, probably going to be like a 5.5-point favorite. I think the game will probably be like plus 200 on the money line, so I'd grab the plus 225 now with North Alabama. I think they got a good shot of winning that conference over Lipscomb. Then we have the America East, which is going to be an interesting league. Vermont, if you follow college basketball, you know that the Catamounts are usually always dominating the America East. This is also another conference tournament where it's played on their home floor. So if you get the number one seed, massive advantage. Vermont's usually the team to get the number one seed. However, they are not this year. It is the Bryant Bulldogs led by Earl Timberlake, who's a really good player. Bryant can really score, but I like fading one seeds like Bryant. Teams that are not used to being the number one seed in their tournaments because the coaches don't really know how to handle it. The players really don't know how to handle it. When you're in these small mid-major conferences and all the pressure is on you, the longer that these underdogs can keep it tight, the just more pressure builds for the top overall seed. So I definitely think that Bryant is a vulnerable favorite. I'm not interested in Vermont at plus 180. I think their price is what it is because of the brand name, because again, they usually always come out of the America East. They just got an injury to one of their better players. So I think Maine at plus 900 or UMass Lowell at 12-1, 2 teams that were up towards the top in the America East preseason. I think those are 2 teams that I would keep an eye on if you want a longer shot in the America East, because again, I do think Bryant is a team that could potentially get upset. Then we have the CAA conference, which always gets nuts. It's going to be here in DC. The Towson Tigers are the number one seed. They've had an unbelievable year under Pat Scarry. They play at a slower pace. They're really good on defense. They're plus 275 to win the conference. Then you have the College of Charleston at plus 475. Got to give the Cougars a ton of credit. They lost Pat Kelsey to Louisville, and here they are, get the number 2 seed heading into the conference tournament. They're plus 475. But I'm going to go with the number 3 seed, UNC Wilmington Seahawks, at plus 160 to win the CAA. Folks, the fact that the number 3 seed is plus 160 to win the conference tournament, I think is telling you a lot. They are clearly the best team. The Williamson, their leading scorer, is a monster. This conference tournament always tends to get a little bit wacky, but I think the 3 seed being the favorite and being the pretty heavy favorite, I think is telling you all you need to know. I'll take UNC Wilmington at plus 160. The Horizon League, we got Youngstown State as the 4 seed. They got a tough one today against Purdue Fort Wayne. They're only 1.5-point favorites, but I like Youngstown at plus 800 to take home the Horizon League. You got Robert Morris, who's the 1 seed. Youngstown's already beaten them once this season. You got Cleveland State, Milwaukee on the bottom side of the bracket. I think there's a nice little path there for Youngstown State at plus 800 to win the Horizon League. So I'm on the Penguins to get the job done. And then finally, the Missouri Valley. Drake is the heavy favorite at minus 110. Arch Madness is Missouri Valley, one of the best mid-major tournaments. Keep an eye, though, on the Bradley Braves at plus 325. These have been the two best teams all year in the Missouri Valley. I just think at the pace that Drake plays at, they're very much like a mid-major Houston. Incredibly slow pace, great defense. But the closer that these teams hang around, and if Drake has an off shooting night, I just don't know if they're going to give themselves enough possessions to win that game against Bradley or whoever it may be. I love the price we get with Bradley, so I'll take them at plus 325. All right, let's talk a little baseball real quick. Continue our MLB previews here on Send It In. As we look at the Detroit Tigers, who were an unbelievable story the final 2 months of the season this past year. Obviously, they were below 500. They win a ton of games. Then they go into the playoffs. They finally beat the Astros. They take the Guardians to 5 games in the ALDS. They're bringing back the AL Cy Young winner, and Tarik Skubal is going to be great yet again this season. Also, Jack Flaherty comes back after trading him at the deadline to the Dodgers for a rental. Flaherty comes back and signs with Detroit in the offseason. So that's a good 1-2 punch for Detroit. Their pitching is going to be very good. The lineup is interesting. They get Gleyber Torres from the Yankees in the offseason, which is a nice pickup. They still got Riley Green there, Matt Vierling, Kerry Carpenter, Colt Keith as well, Spencer Torkelson. They hope that he can live up to his number one overall pick billing and continue to improve. They got a great manager as well in A.J. Hinch. I just think we're buying into a little too much steam on the Tigers team that we saw for the final 2 months of the regular season, which I just kind of think was a fluke, and they got way hot, and we really saw who the Tigers were for the first 5 months of the season. So I like their under win total at 83.5. It was an unbelievable story last year, and they were playing really good baseball, but I think this is a team that I think they're going to have a little bit of a setback this upcoming season. Something that I noticed that was really interesting at BetMGM that I think you guys could take advantage for to get yourself a couple extra bucks. Tarik Skubal to win AL Cy Young is plus 350. However, the AL Cy Young winner on a team for the Tigers is plus 375. So if you think that Skubal is going to win AL Cy Young, just take the Tigers to have the winning pitcher to win AL Cy Young at plus 375. You also get Jack Flaherty in that mix there as well. Seattle is the favorite at plus 350 with all their great pitchers, and that's why they're so low and the Tigers are getting juiced up a little bit. But again, Skubal's the favorite to win AL Cy Young at plus 350. Crochet's plus 550. But if you just bet the winning team of the AL Cy Young to be the Tigers, you get a little plus 375. So I thought that was interesting. Also, A.J. Hinch is the co-favorite to win AL Manager of the Year. Do not bet A.J. Hinch to win Manager of the Year as a co-favorite at plus 500 because they made the playoffs last season, right? You want to take managers usually that didn't make the playoffs the previous year and then led their team to the postseason. So Stephen Vogt won it last year for the Guardians because they dominated the AL Central. A.J. Hinch, if it was a two-month award last year, would have won Manager of the Year. But if the Tigers make the playoffs again, they did it last year, it wouldn't be incredibly surprising. Now, if they win 95-100 games, then he might win AL Manager of the Year. But I don't agree with A.J. Hinch being the co-favorite. I like betting on managers of teams that didn't make the playoffs and then are trying to make it that next upcoming season. So I think that is a stay away. Again, bet Skubal and the winning team of the AL Cy Young to be the Tigers at plus 375. And then I like Tigers under 83.5 wins for the upcoming season as well. All right, folks, let's wrap the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. Got a couple minutes left. Any questions that you guys have for me? Any best bets? Let me know. We went a perfect 3-0 last night on our best bets. Walter Clayton Jr. over points, cash it. We had our best bet, Bama, Florida over. Colorado was our dog of the day, plus 18.5. they lose by 16. Perfect 3-0 sweep. We'll try and run it back today. We'll start with our prop lock. We're going to the NBA. We're taking Karl Anthony Towns over 22.5 points tonight against the Lakers. Again, LA without Anthony Davis or any real big presence in the middle. I expect Towns to eat in this matchup tonight against the Lakers. I think there's a chance he could go for 25, maybe even 30. So I like over 22.5 points tonight for Karl Anthony Towns. Dog of the day, we're going to the A-Sun semifinals, Jacksonville and North Alabama, and we're taking Jacksonville plus 5.5. Now, I just told you guys moments ago, I would bet North Alabama to win the A-Sun over Lipscomb at plus 225. I think North Alabama wins the game, but here's something to keep an eye on during conference championship week. When we get to the semifinal rounds and we're on a collision course for the top two favorites, and everybody thinks it's going to be Lipscomb versus North Alabama, generally, the way these things tend to go, especially in college basketball, is one of those favorites is going to struggle. Everybody's going to have a Lipscomb North Alabama moneyline parlay. Who's going to be the team that makes that person sweat? Who's going to be the team that struggles? I think it's going to be North Alabama. They pull out a close one, but I'll take the 5.5 with Jacksonville tonight to keep it close. And then finally, my best bet, you guys, I've been waiting since Sunday to fire off on the Iowa Hawkeyes plus 7.5. I take some money line tonight too against Michigan. What a great spot to fade Michigan. And I know we've said that over the last like three games, and they just continue to win and cover spreads, but they haven't been able to keep their, they have needed to keep their foot on the gas for the last five games. They've played Illinois, Purdue, Maryland, Michigan, Wisconsin. They keep playing every top team in the Big Ten. They got Michigan on deck Saturday, and all that's in between is a game on the road tonight in Iowa City, taking on Iowa as a 7.5-point favorite. I think Sparty's in trouble tonight. They could be on upset alert. Give me Iowa plus 7.5 against Michigan State. Thanks again to Chad Ruder today for joining us on the show. Appreciate you guys listening. I'm going to be on You Better, You Bet with Jared Smith coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern time. I will see you then, and I'll see you tomorrow here on Send It In.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.